The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m., and if you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
Let me remind those of you who are listening on the radio that you're listening to Grace Radio 107.3 right here on your FM dial in Slidell, Louisiana. So if you're out and about or if you're at home and you want to go to church service, come on over here. Otherwise, just sit tight and listen to this sermon. I believe it'll bless you. And the series is, and God said, don't forget. Don't forget. Or he might have said it another way when he said, remember this. For our text, for our series, Revelation 3:3, remember therefore what you have received and heard, hold it fast, and repent. In the Message translation, which I think is better, it says, turn back to God. So in turn back to God, but if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what time I will come to you. Remember therefore. Last week we spoke about this by way of introduction and introduced you to a new Greek word that we translate into remember. And it's, Sherry tried to phonetically pronounce it, and I think she did a pretty good job, as good as I could do. I'll just spell it. It's M-N-E-M-O-N-E-O-U-O. And how do you say that? You don't have it in front of you, huh? Well, however you say it, let me tell you what it means. It means to recall something without implying that you forgot it, all right? So you recall something that you didn't forget. To help you with that, it's a story that's so familiar, you don't have to remember it in order to remember it. It's just a part of who you are. In fact, Dick and I were sitting last night at the after we had... a marvelous, marvelous dinner created by Popeyes. And as the bones were sitting there, we were remembering things. Dick is a computer dude with IBM for most of his career. And we were discussing the times that things that he did while working for IBM, working on an air traffic control system, and I was related some stories I had. But we didn't have to work hard to tell those stories because they're part of who we are. It's our DNA. It's our background. So this word, remembering, means that. I gave you an example last week, and here's one. It's an example of you might start a story by saying, let me tell you about the time I fell off that cruise ship. Well, I mean, you don't have any problem remembering that. I mean, that's if you fell off a cruise ship and survived, you would remember it, all right? And I also said, it's not this. I wonder if I repaid Morris that $100 he loaned me. By the way, some of you still having problems with that. I got $400 last week. Not everyone was here. So if you remember that $100 you owe me, I'm willing to take it at any time, okay? So I think you get the picture here. It's something that that you remember. When the scriptures say to remember, it's a part of who you are. It makes you the being that you are. It's it's a part of you. It is you. And that's the things that God tells us to remember. To remember these things. You've told the story, as I told you last week, so often that you begin it by saying, I know I told you this before, but, okay? Because you tell it so often. So that's the kind of things that God would have us to do. And without this event in your life or these events in your life, you just wouldn't be who you are. You're that composition of those memories. And God's telling us on a scriptural basis that the things that are in the Bible, some principles we ought to know, and they ought to be so familiar to us that nothing takes them away. They're there for us when we need them. It's a scripture that you memorize maybe when you're in Sunday school as a kid, or maybe you memorize it as an adult, but it sticks. It's a remembering, like you said, the confidence in God that when there's one thing that you can remember that God delivered you from, it's that event. So what we're going to cover in the next couple of weeks, we're going to remember receiving. We're going to remember relationships. We're going to remember to give. We're going to remember about praying. We're going to remember how to live. And we're going to remember, most of all, through it all, the thread that'll tie it all together, is we're going to remember God. For without Him, there's nothing worthwhile remembering. So we'll continue to refresh our memory this week. Last week we spoke about remembering what you've received. And if you weren't here, I'd just encourage you to ask the guys in the media room to give you a CD or a video, or go to our website and you can listen or download it to one of your portable devices, or you can actually watch the video if you'd like to see me in living color. So, if you don't get that right, you don't have a good foundation to stand on. You got to remember what God has done in your life. Has He done anything? This morning, could you say, I know God because I met Him? And last week we prayed, and we can do the same thing again today. We prayed so that for those of you who couldn't nail it down, you might say, well, gee, I can't remember not knowing God. Well, as of last week, you could say that on July the 16th in the year 2017, I really prayed and nailed it down. So that's the most important thing. But today I want to discuss an addition to that subject, and it's to remember other people need you. And we're going to go through several scriptures this morning. Book of Hebrews chapter 13, verse 16. And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. And do not forget to do good and to share with others. When we're in Christ, one of the things that changes about us is we begin to care about other people. And we find that it's difficult for us not to care about other people. My own personal testimony, before the year 1972, I may have known you, but I wasn't really worried about you. Do your own thing, baby. I wasn't going to go much out of my way to help you. I would be nice and friendly, but I didn't have a passion to take and do anything for your life. But when Christ came into my life, suddenly you became important. And that's what happens. Jesus, of all the things Jesus could have said, it always amazed me that when he spoke about the way that we could identify believers, the way we could do that, he said that people would know, others who will look at our lives, they would know that we were associated with Him by the way we loved one another. Now, what you typically hear is this: well, we love God with all our heart, mind, soul, and spirit, and that's the way people know that we are associated with Him. Well, that's a nice thought, but we're not very good at doing that. I've never done this, but I'm sure some of you have. You've been disappointed in God. And there were days you didn't love Him with all your heart, mind, and soul, and spirit. There were days you cried out, where are you, God? Are you out there? Is anybody there? Sometimes God does stuff that you allow stuff to happen that you just, man, why did this happen? You hear tragic stories or maybe something in your own life. Where are you? So we don't do very good on a consistent basis with that love God with everything, heart, mind, soul, and spirit. And then loving others, we struggle with it, but there's something inside of us that makes us want to do that. You'll do something for somebody and, it doesn't quite work out the way you expected, but you go back hoping, you become an eternal optimist, believing that things are going to change. But what motivates us, and you all remember James Barron was here several months ago when he said this, what we're required to do in the New Testament is not for us to love God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and spirit, or to love our neighbors ourselves, but in the New Testament, we're required to believe that God loves us with all of His heart, His mind, His soul, and His spirit, And he loves your neighbor as much as he loves you. Wow, that's a different perspective, isn't it? Because now we're depending on God and not depending on ourselves. And that's why we can do the things we can do. That's how we can get involved in people's lives. Because there's something inside of us that makes us love people who sometimes don't deserve to be loved. That would not be any of you, you know, but there are people out there who, you know, you just wonder about, you know, even could God love that person for some of the things that they say and do, all right? So our primary relationship is with God, but on an equal par is our relationship with one another. And one of the things we need to do, beloved, is we need to stop seeing people as the opposition or people who are getting ahead of us, but we need to start seeing people as God sees them. Remember, I've told you many times, I wish I had a God mirror in the back of every one of these chairs so that when you looked at it and you would see yourself, that you would see yourself the way God sees you. He cares about you. He loves you. He's changed you. You were born again. Not of that corruptible seed of Adam, but that incorruptible seed of God. But when your faith was energized and you said, "Yes, Lord, I believe," you received this newness of life. You were dead, now you were alive. You were in darkness, and now you're in light. You were nobody, now you're somebody. And it's God who does that. It's Him that changes us and makes us different. So we need to see each other that way. If we did that, we'd cut a lot of strife out in our lives. We wouldn't be so quick to get mad at people. If you knew how much God loved your neighbor, you wouldn't be so anxious to be mad at them. You would love them the way that they are. Hallelujah. Come on in, brother. Good to see you. Don't you be shouting when you're coming in here now. I know you. Good to see you. Come on in. You didn't miss much. I just preached Genesis to Revelation, and we're going to catch up now with some of the extra stuff, but I think you'll be able to figure it out. So in context, we're talking about seeing other people and seeing the value in those people because God sees value in people. It really doesn't, I got to be careful I say this, it doesn't so much matter how you feel about someone, because your feelings are too wishy-washy. They can't be depended on. But it's you valuing someone because God sees value in that person. That's what makes somebody important, is that God cares about them. And if God cares about them, so should we care about them. You got that? Does that make sense to you? Okay, good. All right. So let's talk about the things that, when we look at each other, the things that we should remember. First of all, we should remember that people need your prayers. And let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. I thank God whom I serve as my ancestors did with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. Wow, what a statement, huh? Oh, wouldn't you like somebody to feel that way about you? Isn't that a marvelous thought that Paul wrote? The relationship that you experience with other people really begins in the kingdom of God. It comes from the heart of God. And it permeates us in that born-again experience so that we can love other people. Not everybody does lovely things. But the love of God for that person will stimulate you to remember that person and to pray for them. I mean, sometimes you ever had this happen to you? You wake up in the middle of the night and you remember the guy who cut you off on Gauls Boulevard and waved at you when he did it. And you remember that in the middle of the night you wake up and you, instead of saying, "Boy, I hope that guy's tires blow off his car," you pray for him, you know? Or somebody said something bad to you during the day, or somebody made some comment or hurt you in some kind of way, and instead of railing against them, you find yourself praying for them. Now, only God can do that. See, that's the way God changes us on the inside. See, our relationships should be filled with thankfulness like Paul had, not because of what people do for you, but because of who they are in Christ. Don't get mad at me. Don't get mad at me. But without Christ, you're not worth a whole lot. Come on. Without Christ, you're just not worth a whole lot. You know, just go ask your mama when you were growing up without God what you were like. Man, you know, Bill Cosby said one time to his son who was acting up, he said, boy, I'd get rid of you and make another one just like you if I wanted to, all right? So, I mean, God could say the same thing, but our value is when Christ enters our life, and that's what makes us important. That's what makes your neighbor important. To remember them that way. Our relationships should be free of strife as much as possible. Now, you know, it's hard to get along with yourself all the time. I mean, sometimes you get aggravated with yourself, don't you? I gotta be so stupid as to do that. You know, why did I? What was I thinking? You know, to ourselves, we don't do a very good job. And we're not free from strife with other people. There are times, never anybody would think this about me, but somebody might think this about you. What were they thinking? You know, what were they doing? Why did they do that? Yeah, just that's a good way of doing it. You slap your head, you know, because the V8 commercial, you know. What are they thinking? And it just happens. Let me tell you a secret. This is worth the price of admission. Everybody's in the same sandbox. And nobody's getting out of the sandbox, all right? I mean, we're here to live together. And we need to stop throwing sand at each other and start helping each other build a sandcastle. That's what we're supposed to be doing. And one of the things that stresses me, and I do get stressed out about it, is I hate the way church people treat each other sometimes and can't get along. Well, I'm not sitting on that side of the church. Mabel's over there. I hope there's no Mabels here over there. You know, Mabel's over there, and I don't want to sit by her. If you knew what she did, well, what did she do? She sat in my chair one day. Didn't ask my permission. You know? It's the craziest. Churches divide over the color of the carpet. You know? They can have a business meeting. You notice we don't have any business meetings around here? You know why? Because if you want to break up a church, have a business meeting. We tried that one time, and some of you were here for that. We're not doing that ever again. It was bloody, you know. Y'all just not ready for business meetings, okay? Maybe one day in heaven you can have one, but here you're not going to have one. I mean, we just get upset because we want to have, what do we want to have? We want to have things our way. You want to know what's wrong with Washington, D.C.? You got a whole bunch of folks want to have things their way instead of caring about the people and doing things our way, things that benefit us. But it happens within the church. And we need to be careful about that. And we need to pray for one another and be concerned about one another. Paul's relationship was personal. Paul knew the hardship of Timothy. He said, recalling your tears, I long to see you. See, Paul had a relationship with Timothy there. He knew the guy. Now, I'm going to say something. I know I've said it before, all right? And I'm not suffering with dementia, you know? But here it is. You ready? Once again, you can hear it. Some of you folks hadn't heard it before. You're going to hear it again if you come around me. The church will save your life. Jesus will save your life, your soul. I'll get it right. See, I'm not remembering that. Now, I must have to refresh this a little bit more. I haven't said it enough. Jesus will save your soul, and the church will save your life.
Wow.
Church is what we need each other. We need, I just get frustrated. People won't go to church and said, well, me and Jesus are having a good time together at home. Well, you might have a good time with Jesus, but you'd have a better one if you got here where we could be with you and you could help us. You know, we need help.
Yes.
No, get over here and give me a hand. I need somebody to love me and care about me. It's a place where we have a common denominator. That common denominator is Christ and we look at each other with a Christ heart, and we help one another, and we bless one another, we rejoice together, and we cry together. But if you don't know me, you're not going to know when I'm having a bad time. But you're not going to know me well enough to ask me if I'm having a bad time, because you don't know me. But if you know me, you'll know the little nuances about me that'll give a message to you that I'm having a bad time. Does that make sense to you? No? Miss Bobby, let me pick on her for a minute. I saw her this morning when I walked in the door, and she was doing something. I looked at her, and I said, Bobby, are you okay? Because I know Bobby well enough that her countenance didn't look as bright and cheery as it normally does, and her eyes looked a little red. And so I thought maybe she was crying. And so I said, are you okay? She said, oh, yes, Pastor, I'm fine. I said, well, your eyes look a little red. And she said, oh, I'm just having some allergies. Or what? I forget what you said, what it was. But at any rate, knowing each other, we can identify with each other in such a way that we can help one another. And if we don't know each other, we'll never be able to do that. Paul received joy from knowing someone. Is your neighbor in the church making you happy? Well, you're glad to see him. Most of you, I'm glad to see you when you come here. Some people, I'm saying, oh, not again. Not anybody that's here today, of course. You know, but it ought to give you joy when you walk in the door of a building or you see someone you know from the church on the street, some believer. They don't have to be a part of this church or wherever they are. Give you joy. And this man walked in. I know him. Gave me joy to see him come in. Get him to pray later. He can pray. I'll tell you, you can pray to glory now, all right? Yeah, so it's knowing someone enough that they give you joy in your life. And that's what we should do. The scriptures use several examples of that. It said we should be like iron that sharpens iron. Yes. You know, we ought to sharpen each other. We ought to be better off because of the people that we know in the kingdom of God. You know? We ought to do that. We ought to be provoking one another. Now, normally you hear the word provoke, you think somebody's about to get in a fight. It says we ought to provoke one another to good works. We ought to encourage one another to do some things that in the kingdom that need to be done. So that's the kind of relationship Paul had with Timothy, and it's a good pattern for us. We should pray for others because our prayers can move the mountains in their lives. Not only our own lives, but the lives of someone else. Knowing how to pray effectively. Do you know how to pray? And let me give you a quick prayer lesson. This is not praying. It could be, but it's most of the time it's not. And it starts like this. My most gracious, wonderful, Heavenly Father, filled with glory and grace, the God of all creation, you are wonderful, God. I thank you, God, for who you are. And would you bless Mary and John and no, don't bless John. He's been in trouble. Amen. That's not praying. That may be showmanship. You know, but that's not praying. It's just talking to God. It's just a conversation. We make it more complicated than it is. You know who's guilty of doing that? All the preachers. Because we know how to pray so eloquently. You know? Instead of just speaking. The guy who led me to the Lord, he was my mentor. What he used to do all the time, when he'd get to pray, he'd say, let's talk to the boss. You know? I always like that. Let's talk to the boss. You know, I understand that, so do you, a lot better than I do talking to the Lord. I don't even know a Lord. They got them in England, I think. No, Lord Baltimore or somebody. But the idea of the one who's responsible for us, the one who gives us instructions, the one who gives us a paycheck, you know, we can understand that. God blessing us. All right, I'm going further on that I want to go. Second thing I want to talk to you about is to remember people need your involvement. And let's look at another passage of Scripture, Hebrews 13:16. We just looked at this. And do not forget to do good and to share with others. For with such sacrifices, wow. So doing good and sharing can be considered a sacrifice and God is pleased with it. Sometimes it costs you something to be a friend. Sometimes it's going to take your time and your energy and maybe your money. God forbid anybody get in your pocketbook, you know. Don't forget that $100. You know, all right? Don't forget that, all right? The Lord calls that to your mind, all right? The church is at its best when it remembers to get involved. To get involved in somebody's life. It's not always pretty and it's not always fun, but it's a necessary thing for us to do, to be involved, to be hands-on. Here's something you can do that's really good, just a little practical thing. Somebody come up to you and say, would you pray for me? And they tell you what the story is. You know, my daughter's got problems, my son, my money, my house, all those things. And we will respond, oh, yeah, man, I'll pray for you. And then they walk away, and the day gets busy, and the night comes, and the next morning you wake up and say, who was that? Somebody asked me to pray for him. You can't remember who it was. When somebody asks you to pray for them, they tell you something, say, let's pray now. And that worked, doesn't it, Harvey? I said, that would Harvey. Harvey asked me to pray about something, so let's pray now. He said, well, we're in a restaurant. I said, they don't care about us anyway. Let's just pray. Then we did. You know, just pray right there, because it's then that you can meet that. Why should they suffer with this longer than necessary if you have the ability to intercede on their behalf with God? So just pray right there. And if you say, I don't know how to pray, I'm going to slap your face. You say, God, would you help Mary in her situation? Just help her. Lord, I don't know how to, I don't even know what to ask for. But you know what Mary needs. Would you help? Would you just let her feel better? Would you let her stop worrying? That's a prayer that God will answer. So pray. Don't wait for your mind to remember to pray for him later. Pray for him right there at that point in time. Sunday go to meeting kind of Christianity is just that. It's just Sunday go to meeting. Why are you going to church? Well, because I like to go to church. You want to make me mad? Let me tell you to make me mad. Well, I don't like to go to church because there's nothing but hypocrites there. Well, you ought to not go then, if that's the case. You know, because you're just going to add to the confusion and the chaos that's already there. Or you might say, man, that church is full of hypocrites. I'm going to go help them out. I'm going to show them what the real deal is like. You know, I'm going to be a light in the darkness. You ought to come to church not to hear my wonderful, amazing, unbelievable preaching. But you ought to come to church so you got something to do. Say, well, I don't know what to do. Well, think of something. I'll help you. I'm not going to do it for you, but I'll help you. You know, look at yourself as a vessel of God that you can be involved doing good for other people. Stop sitting on the premises and start building the church. We're supposed to be building church. Well, Pastor Morris, I know you're preaching. I've heard you before. And you believe in the grace of God. You know, that everything's about grace and God doing everything. You know, we're saved by grace, not of yourself. It's a gift of God. Lest any man should boast. I heard you say that. You told me that I didn't have to do anything to make God love me anymore than he already does, and I can't do anything to make God stop loving me. I heard you say it. That's what you said. And I did say that. And I say that all the time. But I also say, you were created in Christ Jesus for good works. Nobody reads that in Ephesians. They know Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, but nobody knows 10. You were created in Christ Jesus to do something. To be involved. To put your hand to the plow. To want to be in. Listen, they got enough needy people in this church to keep you busy until Jesus comes back. You can start with me. We need help. And you might be the answer to my problem. You might have just what I need if you just talk to me. Of course, the pastors don't need any help because they're perfect. And they got everything. Got it all figured out. I mean, they preach every Sunday. They must have it all figured out. We need to be in a relationship that gets involved. And our relationship should be as the body of Christ. What did Jesus do? He went to a wedding. He went to have a good time. And while he was there, he did something miraculous. They had a need. Of course, his mama helped him with that. She said, Jesus, they're out of wine. He said, and? Yeah, and? And like a good mama, she told the guy, she said, just do whatever he tells you to do, all right? And we all know the story of what happened. He went places. He didn't just stick around in front of the TV set. He got involved in the system. He healed the sick. He saw the people who were sick and did something about it. He prayed. I heard a guy talk on the radio the other day. It wasn't me. It was somebody else. I wish it would have been me. But he said that, you know, we might see a lot more miracles take place if we just pray for a few. Just to ask God. Well, I'm afraid if I pray for them that they might die. Well, they're going to die anyway, so just go ahead and pray for them. Maybe God will hear your prayer. You know, why not? Why not? Why not ask God for something for somebody else? You know, not asking for things for yourself. Well, I need a new car, I need a new house, I need a new wife, I need a... No, you don't need that, you know. Whatever you think you need, you know. And start thinking about somebody else. Man, that guy needs a new wife. Well, let's help work on her and get her changed around. Y'all won't remember Charles Simpson, but Charles Simpson was a preacher who was very popular many years ago. And he told a wonderful story. He had gotten saved, born again by the Spirit of God, and he had gotten baptized in the Holy Ghost. Now, that's a problem if you're a Southern Baptist preacher back then, all right? That's a problem. And his wife wasn't buying any of that. You know, she wasn't into all this speaking in tongues and all the stuff that Charles Simpson was doing. So Charles started praying for his wife. And he told the story. He said, I would pray for my wife, and I'd pray for her in tongues, so I figured that was powerful. And in my mind, I think, God, change my wife. And I'd pray in tongues. And the Holy Spirit would say, God, let's change Charles Simpson. God was praying for him to get changed, and he was praying for his wife to get changed. Anybody here know what happened? Charles got changed. And when he got changed, then his wife realized that he had the real thing, and then she got changed in the middle of it all. So ask God to help us to be the kind of servants within the kingdom of God that can help other people be whatever God wants them to be. Jesus taught in the temple. He shared the word of God. You know, what I have to say isn't worth very much. I have opinions. I am loaded with opinions. You want an opinion, just ask me. I'll give you an opinion on anything. You know, from politics to church, you know, marriage, family, you know, automobiles, you know, I got an opinion on everything. But it's not worth anything because it's my opinion. I had a guy used to say, my opinion is worth what you pay me for. And since you're not paying me anything, it's not worth anything, all right? But the Word of God has got value.
Yes, yes.
And we need to tell people the Word of God. And the Lord said this. Let me read you this in the Bible. No, and God said, don't worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God that passes all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now, that's the Word of God that's powerful to change your life. I just happen to have that memorized. You know why I memorize it? Because you need to hear it. And I need to hear it. And I need to remind myself of that. So it doesn't hurt to memorize the Scripture. You say, well, I can't memorize Scripture. Well, I don't get it. That's a story. You can memorize a lot of stuff. You know the names of those songs and them singers. You can sing all those old songs. You can remember that. You can remember the Scriptures. I want to show you something real quick. I don't want to spend a lot of time on it, but I want to show you. When Pat and I first got saved, we got involved with an organization called the Navigators. The Navigators are a parachurch organization that works primarily with military and college campuses and business people. That's what they do. And their motto is, win one, teach one. So they win one to the Lord, but they don't just turn them loose and hope they turn out okay. What would you be like if your mama did that with you? Well, here's a little baby. Just get out there, feed yourself, take care of yourself, all right? Woohoo! You'd be dead as a doornail. I mean, you couldn't feed yourself. So you win one and you teach one. You begin to teach people the Word of God and the ways of God. That's what the Navigators did. And they taught Pat and I something. And this stays with me. This is one of the things that they use all the time as an illustration. It's the it's what they refer to as the wheel. And it's the obedient Christian in action. That's the rubber that hits the road, if you will. And at the center of this wheel is the hub, which is Christ. Now, most of you came here in automobiles or bicycles or something that had wheels on it. And if you don't have a hub, you're not going anywhere with the wheel. Have you ever broke a hub on a car or broke a hub on a bike? You know, it doesn't work very well. All right? So the first thing you got to have is Christ in the center of your life. And we've talked about that quite extensively last week. That's the most important thing. Then we need some relationships. There are vertical relationships between us and God. And here's what they are. They're the Word of God. If you don't know the Word of God, you don't know nothing. I mean, you know, and I'm not saying... I know that people love to tell you how many times they've read through the Bible. And that's nice. I think it's great you should read through the Bible from cover to cover. I think it's a wonderful thing. I've never done it. My attention span is not that good. But if you tell me, I read through the book of Ephesians 20 times this past year, you know what? You didn't know the book of Ephesians. Now, if you try reading through Numbers and, you know, Deuteronomy and some of those things, you're not... It's hard to get your soul blessed through some of that stuff. Lord, I'm not talking bad about the Word. I know it's there for a reason. For a guy like me, it doesn't do a whole lot. But boy, I get over in Ephesians and Galatians. And, you know, I love Galatians where, and this is a kind of a paraphrase of it, when the people are trying to go back to the law, and Paul says, "Dear idiots of Galatia, who cast a spell on you as you would believe such a lie that the law would do you any good?" But, you know, knowing the Word of God in such a way. So you got to, that's where you start your Christian walk, is in the Word of God. You spend time. I was telling Dick, my brother-in-law, that about his daddy when I first got saved. His daddy had been in an automobile accident, and we were living with them. I was living off of them because I didn't have a job and I didn't have any money. But Dick's daddy couldn't go anywhere because the accident had messed up his foot. And I couldn't get a job. God wouldn't give me a job. I just got saved. I couldn't get a job. It was a terrible situation. But I spent about 4 months every day sitting at the kitchen table with his daddy, and he taught me the Word of God. And that was a foundation for me. I'd read it, and I didn't understand. I'd sit down with him and say, "Pop, what does this mean?" And he'd explain it to me. So you start with the Word of God. The next thing is prayer. You got to know how to talk to God. You need to know He's your source. He's the go-to guy. You know, your neighbor's good, but if you really want to get the job done, you got to go to God. So learning to develop a prayer life. Now, there are some people who can do this, and if you can do this, more power to you. Some people get up at 4 o'clock every morning, pray for 2 hours. You know, drink a cup of coffee, pray for 2 more hours. You know, they go out and walk around the neighborhood, come back and pray for some more. I can't do that. You know, first of all, I'm not getting up that early. You know, God would have to throw me out of bed to get me out of bed that early, all right? But to learn how to pray about everything, the Scripture says, in everything give thanks. And pray without ceasing. Your life ought to be a prayer. As simple as this. And you know, it's good to start at the beginning things. If you want to walk somewhere, you got to start with the first step. Learning how to pray. I'm going to Walmart. God, could you give me a good parking place? Now, I know that's childish and rudimentary, but it's not a bad place to start. You'd be amazed how many parking places God could find for you. Just ask Him, you know? And you learn to ask for the little things. Lord, would you help me to find a new dress on sale? You know, just a nice one, one that I could afford. Lord, would you help me to do this? Lord, would you help me to be a better mom or a dad? And then as you grow in your prayer life, you can go up to somebody who's sick. You can say, "In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And that's what happened to Peter and John. And the man got up and went walking and leaping and praising God. You work your way, you grow. So you grow in the Word of God and you grow in prayer. Now here's the other thing where is this thing of fellowship. That's getting to know people. You know, it's that old song from the King and I, "Getting to know you. Getting to know all about you." You know, that's pretty good, huh? I'm not going any further than that. You know, but getting to know one another, you know, building fellowship. That's one of the things the church is. After church services, if I ever get finished preaching, we're going to have coffee for you, And we used to have stuff to eat, but I stopped that because people were getting fluffy. So I cut back on the fluffiness, all right? So we got coffee for you. Once a month on birthday Sunday, we'll have a little pie or a little something, a little cake. But we're not in the fluffy business, all right? So, but we do have coffee. And people sit around and talk and get to know each other. It's important to have fellowship with people in the church, people who know you. You know, if you go out to some stranger on the street and you say, man, God gave me a parking place at Walmart. You say, everybody gets a parking place at Walmart sooner or later. You just got to walk a half a mile to get where you're going. And he wouldn't understand. But if you say, God gave me a walk, if you told me, I went to Walmart, God gave me a parking place on the front row, I'd say, glory to Jesus, hallelujah. There's a miracle here. I mean, because you can't park in the front row. All them cars with the little wheelchair pictures on them, you know, they all got the front row. Us guys have to walk. Because we could use the walk a little bit, Tommy, you know. They need a little walking to do us some good. But, you know, in this fellowship where you can talk about things of the kingdom, and people can understand what you're talking about, and they won't think you're some kind of wacko. You know? And you can share your joys and your sorrows when you're hurting real bad, and you got a friend in the church that you know well enough, you can share what's going on. You can't share with everybody. Sometimes you share with people, it's like putting it on the radio. Okay? And we're on the radio right now, so don't say anything you don't want to say it. All right? But, you got to be careful who you share certain personal stuff with. You got to have a buddy or a buddette or somebody that's a friend that you can trust. You know, that's what you need in the church. Some of you are going to get that tonight about 3 o'clock in the morning, a buddette. Okay. But here, now let me tell you something about this wheel. You know, that's a very symmetrical wheel, isn't it? I mean, that if the tire on your car looks like that, you can probably get home on it, all right? But let me tell you what happens. If any of these are out of balance, your wheel's going to be out of balance. It's going to look funny. You ever had this happen to you? You don't do it too much with the tires we have today. But one time the tires weren't too good, and if it got cold and you let your car sitting out too long, it'd get kind of flat on the bottom. And when you go to drive off someplace, you just get a little jiggle in your car as you move until it got warmed up. Well, if you're spending all your time in prayer and you're not studying the Word of God, you're going to be out of balance. Okay? If you're spending all your time fellowshipping and not witnessing, you're going to get out of balance. See, it's not enough for you to be nice to me. You got to be nice to some lost people out there. Don't raise your hand. But some of you have never led anybody to the Lord. You've never done it. You've never told somebody how to get saved and ask them if they want to be saved. Don't be raising your hand. But if you don't talk to people who don't know God and have something to share with them that's important in your own life, they're never going to know. When you meet people, you ought to be thinking automatically, remembering automatically, I wonder if this person knows God, and start looking for a way to find out. You know, they could be talking about the moon. You could say, y'all got pictures of the moon in your church? You know, just kind of drag it in. Say, no, we don't have. I don't go to church. Oh, you don't go to church. Well, like I talked to a gal one time at a drugstore, and I was trying to find out what her spiritual application was. And church is a good way to find out about people. I said, where do you go to church? She said, oh, I go to First. And she named the church that you went to. I said, oh, I know your pastor over there. I named her pastor. And she kind of averted her eyes just a little bit. And I said, you do know your pastor? And she said, I knew the other pastor was there. Now, the pastor that she didn't know had been there about 5 years. So I said, when's the last time you've been to church? She said, it's been a while. I said, a while? Is that a week? Oh, no, longer. I said, is that a month? She said, well, I said, is it years? And she said, I don't remember. I said, you don't belong to that church. In your mind, you belong to that church. You've got nothing to do with that church. But you know what you find out about people, and then when you really dig underneath the peel of and peel the onion back a little bit, you find out that they don't know God. They never knew God. And if somebody says, well, I go to First ABC Church, you say, oh, good, how long have you been saved? Have you ever been born again? You can just ask people. They'll either say yes, or they're going to fumble. As soon as they fumble, it's like going fishing, honey. You just got to bite on the line. You know, the cork just went under. Here's an opportunity for you to share Christ. Now, you don't have to be a turn and burn kind of personality, but you can say, you know, I used to be like that. I didn't know God from a post. You know, I didn't know nothing. But one day, Christ changed my life. And if that person is hurting, and they probably are, probabilities are that they are, they might say, man, I wish I had that in my life. I wish I had some peace in my life. But, oh, man, can I show you something in the Bible? Hopefully you got a Bible. If you don't have a Bible, you don't want to carry it around because you think you look weird, get an iPhone and put the Bible on your iPhone. You know, it's on there. It's real easy to get to it. And have a couple of go-to scriptures you can show somebody. And then, to use my fishing analogy, and then you got the hook set. Just ask this question, would you like to receive Christ in your life? And then just shut up. Give the person a chance to think about it. Don't run in with more information. Let them think about it. And if they say no, you say, why not? And you'll find out what it may be. Well, I used to go to church, but I got hurt there. You know, it gives you an opportunity to talk. But you're not going to be able to do that if you don't know the Word of God, and if you don't have a time of prayer, and if you don't have fellowship with other believers and talk about these kinds of things. You know, you kind of develop yourself so that you have a balance and you talk to people about the Lord. And if you talk to enough people, you know, I know this about fishing. If you go fishing long enough, you're going to catch fish. Isn't that right, Dick? You just get out there long enough. He lives in Corpus Christi, Padre Olive. They got fish that come to dinner at your house. They just show up. Now you got so many fish out there. Yeah, but if you do it enough, somebody's going to say, yeah, I'd like to receive Jesus to my life. And you get to pray with them. And you know what happened if you did that for the first time, or if you just did it again for the first time? You'd be ringing my phone off the hook. You won't believe what happened to me today, Pastor. I was talking to my sister-in-law, and I told her about Jesus, and she prayed and received Christ in her life. Oh, my gosh. Well, I'm so happy. They make you happy. You talk about joy? Oh, man. You ain't had joy until you see somebody come to the kingdom. All right. That's enough of that. I talked on that too much. Let me go away. Y'all got that picture? All right. If you want to have that little wheel, just go to any computer website, use Google, and look for the navigator wheel. Navigator wheel, and you can find a picture of it. All right, that's how I found it for you. All right, number three is, remember people need you to care. 1 Thessalonians 2:8-9. So we cared for you because we loved you so much. We were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, oh, listen to this, but our lives as well. Surely you remember, brothers and sisters, our toil and our hardship. We work night and day in order to not be a burden to anyone while we preach the gospel of God to you. That is a scripture, friends, that we ought to memorize and we ought to know. You know, that we care about people. I don't know if there's a better description of what we ought to be doing in our Christian walk in this particular passage of Scripture. They cared about each other so much it showed that they were reaching out to other people. They reached out. They cared. And caring is not so much an emotion. This is an action. It's one thing to feel something for somebody. It's another thing to do something for somebody. You know? So reaching out. Loving by seeing the value in other people. I'll tell you, the vilest of sinners out there, God loves them. God loves the world. And what we have a responsibility to do, those of us who are believers, is to share the Word of God with the world. Jesus, the last thing he said, is go into the whole world. You know, go everywhere. And teaching them the things that I've taught you. That's our responsibility. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. And he said, and I am with you always, even until the end of the age. So we have a responsibility to be doing that. Loving people, see the barrel. Sharing with others was a delight for this, for Paul. It was a delight for him. He took joy in it. Our care for people is displayed when we share the gospel. If you really care about people, people say, well, you know, I really love people. Well, I won't do this to you because I'm polite. Maybe I should. But how much do you love them? What have you done for somebody lately? Oh, you're waiting for somebody to do something for you. Oh, well, that's another story. Well, nobody ever comes to visit me. Nobody invites me out to dinner. Nobody pays for my meal. Nobody cuts my grass. Nobody cares about me. Nobody knows the trouble I see. Nobody knows my sorrow. That's our song. I've been thinking about somebody else. Maybe somebody needs you to buy him a meal. You don't have to pay the $100 back to me. Just take me out to dinner at Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. That'll take care of that. Two things, all right? You get the picture? Think about somebody else, what they might need for a change, instead about what you need. And the bottom part of this, he said, we work day and night not to be a burden to anyone. Are you a burden or a blessing? What are you? People hate to... This is Fellowship 101. If I come up to you and said, how you doing? Don't give me a litany of all the top 10 things that are going on in your life. I'm just being nice. I don't want to know everything. And if I know you well enough, I'll know what's going on. All right? And it's okay to say, oh, I'm doing good, Pastor. Well, you know, man, I tell you, if I don't get a job soon, I don't know what I'm going to do. Well, I can deal with that. All right? That's not being a burden. That's sharing a need. But if every time I see you, oh, man, oh, my dog died, my horse died, the car died, my sister died, my wife died, you know, just go on, all the stuff that's wrong in your life. I'm not interested in all that stuff at one time. Can you just feed me a little at a time? You know, just give me a bite at a time? You get the picture? All right. Don't be a burden. Try to be a blessing to someone. Oh, I'm doing fine. How you doing? I'm going to get to meddling right here in just a minute. You've heard this before, but you know why God gave you two ears and one mouth? Tell me. Somebody tell me why. You don't know that? Because he wanted you to listen twice as much as you talk. Write that down. You can use that anytime. Those of you preachers, teachers, you can use that anytime you want. You want to learn to be a listener. Share with others' gospel. Lift other people's burden. People, somebody in this room, probably more than one, is carrying a burden that you don't know about. And it's really weighing them down. They're hurting. They need somebody to care about them and be a friend. Say, well, I don't know what to do. What if their burden's so big that I don't know how to solve it? Well, who made you the solver of the world? You're just a messenger. You say, I don't know what to do, but I know Jesus can do something. If I do something, you might be in trouble. I'll do whatever I can. I had a good friend of mine. He and his wife were driving up Mississippi. Two state troopers are drag racing in the rain on a two-lane road, head-on collision, killed her instantly. Beat him. He was all tore up. He was in a hospital up in Mississippi. I drove up there with some guys to go see him. And when I got to see him, his name was Roger Warren. I said, Roger, I don't know what to say, man. I don't know what to say. But I can tell you, I promise you this, I'll be with you through this thing. If you need somebody to talk to, I'll talk. If you want to be quiet, I'll be quiet. If you want to cry, I'll cry with you. Whatever you want to do, I just want you to know you're not going to be by yourself. And I kept my promise to him. And I walked with him through that. And if There were times he wanted to talk about his wife, and sometimes he just didn't want to talk about it. But just do what you can. Nobody's expecting you to solve all the problems of the world. Those of you who are married and you have wives, you know that's true. When your wife tells you something, she don't expect you to solve it. She just wants you to listen to her. And sometimes just listening to somebody is the greatest medicine they'll have. And invite Christ. I heard a policeman say this. He said, whenever I walk up on a call, he said, I'm bringing deadly force with me. I got it strapped on my side. He said, if nobody else has got a gun, I got a gun, and that gun can hurt people. And if somebody gets my gun away from me, they could hurt me. When you go into a situation, you're bringing Christ with you. You're bringing the power of Almighty God into a situation. And He can do stuff that you can't do. He can accomplish things that you can't accomplish. One of the things we do in the chaplaincy program with the coroner's office, they teach us how to deal with a crisis situation. And one of the things that we remind everyone about is that when you walk up on a scene and somebody's dead in an automobile and the surviving family's there, or you go to a house and somebody committed suicide, or you go someplace and somebody died unexpectedly, a child, or somebody that just happened not too long ago, beat a child to death, and you get called out by the coroner's office, and you go as a chaplain, you don't know what to say, and you don't know what to do, you don't need to worry about it, because when you walk into the situation, you're bringing Christ into it. And Christ has the answer. And Christ can be the balm of Gilead to heal a wounded heart. He is there in you, with you, speaking through you, touching through you. Just your hand on somebody's shoulder may just be enough to say, I'm here. Do you need something to drink? You just need a glass of water. Been out there on the highway, and I know you don't have any water. I brought some water with me. They teach us to bring a little bottle of water with us. Just give people what you can. Don't have higher expectations of yourself than you need to. Because Christ in you will do what needs to be done. Our toil and our work and our hardship is to help other people wise. Sometimes life will buckle the knees of the strongest Christian. I don't care how strong you are. You can get a telephone call. Your phone might ring right this moment in time, and it'll buckle your knees. It'll take all the breath out of you. And you don't know how you're going to get another breath. It's a Christian brother or sister filled with the Spirit of God that can sit by you and help you get through that terrible thing. They won't know everything to say, but they can be there to help you. This is what we're created in Christ Jesus to do. Last week I told you who you are in Christ. This week I'm trying to tell you to remember that we need each other. And we can't do it alone. If you think you can do it alone, you'll be the first one to do it. But I promise you, you'll fail. You need somebody. Doesn't matter where you are in life, what's going on in your life, whether you're the richest guy in this room or the poorest guy in this world, it doesn't matter. We all need help. When I came to the Lord, if you would have seen me, you would have never dreamed in 100 years that I needed anything. You wouldn't have known. Had a beautiful wife, beautiful child. Had a beautiful Cadillac car, big old Fleetwood Cadillac, when those used to be popular. Had on a suit that cost more money than I had to spend on it. And he looked at me and thought, this guy has got it all together. And I was so buckled in my knees. And somebody that I never met before asked me, if you were to die today, will you go to heaven or hell? And my response to him was, if there is a heaven or hell, I'd end up in hell. And he took me to the Word of God. And I prayed a very simple. In fact, I prayed the most powerful prayer I ever prayed in my life that day. When I told the guy I wanted to leave Christ in my life, he said, I was in his living room. He said, why don't you kneel down there and pray? So I prayed the only prayer I knew. I just cried. I didn't know any prayer. I didn't know how to pray. I just cried. God sees every tear. When the people are locked up in Egypt, getting beat up every day, misused and abused and murdered. And God said, I've heard the cries of my people. And He sent help. You might be the rescue team. You might be the Christian first responder who goes out and helps somebody. Let God use you. And if you don't know, get yourself equipped. Read your Bible. Read Galatians 18 times. And see what it does to the inside of you. And you know, read Philippians. It says, don't worry about anything. You know? It says, whatever is good and lovely, anything of good report, just think about these things. Let the Word of God transform you on. And then let God let you share that with someone else who needs it. Amen? That's all spam. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your Word. Thank you for the precious promises that are ours in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you can meet all our needs according to your riches and glory. And Father, I don't know all the needs that are represented in this room, or maybe somebody listening on the radio, watching on the internet, wherever they may be. I don't know what their needs are, but you do. And Father, right now, in the precious name of Jesus, I ask you to meet those needs. Lord, let the peace that you give, you said you give a peace, not as the world gives peace, but you give a different kind of peace. Let that peace just settle in folks' hearts. Oh, Jesus, let it be done. Lift those burdens. You told us to take your yoke upon ourselves, that your yoke was easy, and that your burden was light. Lord, would you just yoke us up with you this morning? Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I want to do something. I don't do this very often around here, but I want to do this morning. Just stay in an attitude of prayer. If you've never received Christ into your life and you'd like to do that today, would you like to have the hub of your life centered, that you can be a Christian in action? I'm going to lead you in a little simple prayer. The Bible says that if you will confess with your mouth, if you will agree, that word really means agree, if you'll agree with your mouth that Jesus is the boss, that He's Lord, if you will do that, if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, it says you'll be saved. God will change you. You'll be born again of that incorruptible seed of the Word of God of Christ. If you'd like to do that, I want everybody to pray with me. And with childlike faith, you don't have to understand everything I said this morning, but just enough faith to do what I did when I came to the Lord, just to cry out to the Lord, Lord, save my soul today, forgive my sin. So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, right now, as best I know how, I turn my life over to you. I ask you to forgive me. I believe that Jesus lived, that He died, and that He rose from the dead. I don't understand it all, Lord, but I believe it. Lord, help me to live for you today. In all the days of my life. And take me to eternity when my time on earth is done. Father, in faith, I pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Now, I don't have people walk the aisle, but if you prayed that prayer and just you stay around here and drink a cup of coffee or whatever, and if that happened to you, I'd like you to let me know about it. And this is what I want you to do. Real simple. You don't have to give me a long litany of testimony. If you just tap me on my arm, now this arm is not real. It's made out of plastic and computers. I lost my arm in a boating accident. But it's mostly plastic up here. If you just tap me twice on my arm, I'll know that you prayed that prayer this morning. Maybe it was for the first time. Maybe it's the first time you meant it. Maybe it's just been a long time since you did. Just tap me twice, all right? I won't ask you to join the church or give any money or anything, but I just would like to know. It'd be an encouragement to me, all right? With that said and done, you're dismissed in the name of the Lord. Have a wonderful day. Thank you for being here. And I think the sun is trying to poke out. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen.